about that rematch, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yes.
If Sleawood ducks it, does that not prove that he was up to something last Thursday?
Oh, no question. If he can't repeat his alleged performance, yes, it means he was up to something.
No,
by the way, he texted me last night, said, my camera angle was awful, and the top of my head was front and center, so that's on me.
Well, there you go. He knows he screwed up.
He knows he screwed up.
I think that the rematch has to happen, and we need to shoot it with a wide-angle lens. And then if it, I'll even be surprised if he eats five. He says he ate nine.
Nine. I don't believe he ate nine. I don't believe he ate nine. I'd be surprised also if he ate more than five.
Yeah, he's coming up in an hour, so we'll see if he accepts the terms of the rematch.
By the way, I want to point out to everybody how close we are to sports. We are 6 days away from LAFC versus Houston, and we'll have that game for you here on 710 ESPN. Major League Baseball, 12 days away from an exhibition game against Arizona, and then just 16 days away from opening day at Dodger Stadium versus the Giants. And the NBA, now just 23 days away from Lakers-Clippers. So we are on it, people. It is happening. It's coming back. It's coming back all at once. And I could not be more excited. It is going to be great to get sports back on the radio, to have games to talk about instead of talking about what might happen, what could happen, bubbles, all that kind of stuff. Get to the games themselves, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So thanks for hanging out with us during this this hiatus, during this quarantine. But it's all ready to get started again.
And the Dodgers kind of started last night.
They had
an exhibition game. And Mason and I actually disagree with how this Dodgers 60-game sprint season is going to go. I think the Dodgers are going to coast. I think if you look at their schedule, they only have 9 opponents. Because of the way they had to shotgun this thing. Of the 9 opponents, only 3 of those teams had winning records a year ago. The Astros, the A's, and the Diamondbacks. The other 6 teams all stunk. Teams like the Angels and the Mariners and the Padres and the Giants, all those teams were well below 500. I think the Dodgers win. I think they win by 5 games. Mace, you for some reason think that it comes down to the last weekend of the season.
I do. You know, if you go back to the last 7 years, 7 division titles, only twice were they leading the division after 60 games. I don't think this is a gimme. I think it goes down to the last weekend of the season. Anybody, any one of those teams can get hot, whether it's Arizona or San Diego. I mean, I think in a 162-game season, I think the Dodgers win by 20 games. In the National League West. In a 60-game season, I just don't know.
Well, the reason I don't think that theory holds water is in those other years, they were playing more than just 3 good teams with winning records. They were playing the whole league, and you know, they had to play all the teams. And so that was a much harder schedule. This might be, Mace, if we compare it, the easiest schedule the Dodgers have ever had. They only play 9 opponents, and 6 of them had losing records last year. Let's see what Jerry Hairston thinks. Jay Hair is one of the members of, and I'm really excited for people that, like, I'm a DirecTV guy. I've never had Sportsnet LA. I have it now, and everybody else, the whole city is going to be able to watch the Dodgers network, and these guys do a great job, and Jerry's part of that. Jerry, thank you for coming on, man. How you holding up?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Good, good. How was your quarantine?
It wasn't bad. I was very fortunate. You know, I was in the state of Arizona at the time when everything was getting quarantined, and it wasn't bad here. So I was able to be around my kids an awful long time to see them, to see their games. I got a chance to play a lot of golf, still practice social distancing. We did wear masks walking into the grocery store, still do, but it wasn't as bad as, let's say, New York or L.A.
All right, so Jerry, let's talk a little bit about the Dodgers. First of all, weigh in on this argument Mason and I are having. I think because of the schedule and because of the Dodgers roster, I think they're going to coast in this 60-game sprint. I think they're going to win by at least 5 games. Mason says it's going to be much closer. He thinks because of the smaller schedule that anything can happen, and it's going to come down to the last weekend of the 60-game sprint. What do you think?
In my expert opinion, I can honestly say I don't know. I really don't, guys, because this is not a marathon. You know, for decades, for over a century, we've always said, hey, this game, it's about a marathon. This is not a sprint. Well, this season, it's a sprint. And
yep.
Whoever gets off to a hot start has a serious chance to carry that momentum for a couple months, and you have a chance to be in the postseason. You know that one team that really scares me in our division is not the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're a very good team. It's not the San Diego Padres. They're
really
a bit young team. You know what's the team that scares me? It's the Colorado Rockies, and I'm tell you why. Last year, if you remember, they were hurt really bad with injuries with their young pitching staff. Now most of these guys are healthy, and they have guys that can rake. Blackman, Trevor Story, kid at third base, Arenado, a beast. Those guys can get hot for 2 months and really ride that wave. And that ballpark that they have in Colorado, that's a huge advantage for those guys. So that type of team could really benefit from a 60-game season. And they're the type of team that scares me. Now, do I think the Dodgers are going to win out, figure out a way to win this division? Absolutely. But it could be by 3 games. It could be by 5 or 8 games. I don't know, because it's just such a short and small sample size.
You know, it seems like, and you tell me, it seems like getting off to a good start has never been more important. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. You don't want to be that team that starts out, you know, 3-6, 3-7,
yep.
And that team that you didn't think had no business being there, they're 7-3, 8-2, and say, hey, we have a chance. You know what I'm saying? We honestly have a chance. And I remember I was on a team in 2010 with the Padres. We got off to a great start. Everybody thought we were going to lose 100 games. We ended up winning 90 games that year because we got off to a good start. And we played good baseball, and we believed in ourselves. So, again, if you get off to a good start, you have a serious chance to make a serious run. And there's a team nobody's talking about in the American League, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays. That team has a chance to really make some noise this season.
Well, and they do every year somehow, despite their limitations. We're talking to Jerry Hairston, who's part of the Dodgers broadcast crew on Sportsnet LA. Jay Hair, what do you think happens with the pitchers? If Clayton Kershaw is throwing a no-hitter in the first 3 games of the season, or if Walker Buehler is throwing a one-hitter, do you take him out after the 4th or 5th inning because you have to ramp him up, or do you let him ride?
Well, it depends how many pitches they have. And I would hate to be the guy to try to ask Clayton Kershaw in the 6th inning, hey, brother, you got a no-hitter going. You're up to 80 pitches. We got to take you out.
Yeah.
Kershaw ain't about that life, bro. Trust me. He ain't about that life. But you have to be smart. You understand that in this shortened season, you got to understand you have to build up your pitcher. So, you know, the first couple starts, have to adhere to the pitching coach. You have to adhere to the manager, because we're thinking about the greater good, not just with you, but also your teammates. We have to make sure these guys are firing on all cylinders, you know, come late September and hopefully get in the postseason in October.
You know, the other thing that strikes me, Jerry, is that there's going to be a lot of mental pressure on players, because all of a sudden, if you get into a slump, it's tougher to get out of when you realize you have fewer games left. There's going to be a mental aspect to this that normally, you know, if you go on a 1-for-18, you realize, hey, it's a 162-game season, I'm going to be fine. But you go on a 1-for-18 in a 60-game season, and the mountain gets pretty high.
That is a great point. You know, hitting a baseball, squaring it up, and then figuring out a way to get hits in the big leagues is the hardest thing to do in sports, guys. It's a mental grind. But you're right. If you get off to a slow start, that can kind of wear on you. But I've always been a guy that had perspective when I played. You know, I wasn't the most talented. I tried, you know, to be prepared as possible. And I got into slumps. And the thing that helped me was having perspective. I think the players, especially now, will help and benefit in knowing there's millions of people that have been out of work. They've lost their jobs. They've lost careers, man. And these families are hurting. So you figure out a way, hey, I have to figure out a way to get it done. Because there are so many people out there that have a lot worse than I do. And my job is to make sure I perform and give it my best on the field to have those type of fans have a sense of, I've been looking for that perfect word, to relax for a couple hours, you know, to kind of unwind and have some hope. And I think these players understand that, and that's why they want to play. Because they understand there's a lot of people in our country that are hurting right now, and they want to make sure they're out there performing at their best for our fans.
We're talking to Jerry Hairston, who, for people who don't know, Jerry won a World Series title with the Yankees in 2009. Jerry, will other World champions like you recognize this year's champ as legit, or because it's a shortened season, is it less than in some way?
Bruh, it'll be a championship. There's no asterisks. There's nothing like that. If anything, they should not only get the championship, but possibly get the gold medal. Because you got to understand, these are unprecedented times, man. A lot of players are dealing with a lot with, you know, leaving some of their wives at home. Younger kids, so this is probably, I would say, a little harder than a normal season.
Yeah,
these players have a lot to deal with, man, and a lot on their shoulders. And you know, I applaud these players that are playing, man. I really do, and I'm really proud of our guys, man. I haven't been more proud of the guys that have been speaking up for some social issues, have been going to the ballpark and trying to make sure there is a season to be played for our fans. So. You know, I think I can make a strong case that these players today are probably more mentally tough than we were back then.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be in a 162-game season, I would take the Dodgers every single day of the week, and they win that division by double digits. This is going to be much tougher. I mean, the playoffs are the playoffs, right? The structure is the same. But getting there is going to be the tricky thing. That's why I think this is a tougher year for the Dodgers than it would have been otherwise.
I totally agree. Again, it's a sprint. You know, you have those guys that they run the 100 meters, and they usually take off the last 30 meters and win the race. Well, guess what? You don't have that luxury as a sprinter, because this is more of like a 60-meter sprint, not 100 meters. You have to figure out a way to put it into gear early. And make sure you start out the season hot and get into the postseason. If the Dodgers get into the postseason, which I know they will, I think they're going to make some serious noise, because they got the depth, they got the starting pitching, and they got the firepower in their offense.
Last thing, Jay, here, impact of David Price not participating in this season.
It's going to hurt, no doubt. We're going to miss David Price because he's a champion. He's a former Cy Young Award winner. He was healthy. Last year he wasn't healthy. But he's got to take care of his family, man. He's got to do what's right for him, and I appreciate that, and I respect him for that. And I think he'll be the first to tell you, when you lose a teammate like that to injury or another issue, it's all about the next man up, okay? Now, it's up to Julio Urias to step up, Gosling to step up, May. These young guys have an opportunity to step up. I think Ross Stripling will step up once again and get in this rotation and pitch extremely well. So, it's about opportunity, and as a young player, you get these few opportunities, man, especially on a big market team like the Dodgers. You have to take advantage of it and help your team win some ball games.
Hey, Jerry, thank you for doing this, man. We really appreciate it. We're really glad everybody's going to get to see you guys do your thing this year. It's going to be really fun.
We try to entertain guys. We try to make sure that the Dodger players get on our telecast as much as possible. It's a fun show. You guys will love what we do on that network, and I'm glad all of L.A. has a chance to see it.
Yep. It's great stuff. Hey, thanks, Jay Hare. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys.
All right, there's Jerry Hairston Jr. Yeah, and if you last night they did show the intra-squad game. They dipped into that and saw Mookie Betts first at bat. He struck out to Clayton Kershaw. Last night was Kershaw versus Chicken Strip in the start. I don't know if they're doing a game tonight or not. I would imagine pretty much from this point forward,
Strip
they're going to do a game every night.
Yeah, whenever they're doing something. They've got to fill 24 hours of programming, so yeah, I would think they'll be all over it.
Yeah. Coming up next for you, great news about Dwight Howard. He is going to be in the bubble.
And I have an Avery Bradley update that's interesting.
Okay, good. And I know a very angry 78-year-old woman.
Excellent.
I'll explain that next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, ESPN LA, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is official. Dwight Howard is going to be in the bubble for the Los Angeles Lakers, which is fantastic news. He was concerned about detracting from the social justice movement in America right now. He's decided to take advantage of this platform and also donate the rest of his salary for this year to the charitable initiative Breathe Again. So he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's using the platform of the NBA to promote social justice, and he's actually giving out of his own pocket to help the cause.
All right, and Chris Haynes from Yahoo has an interesting story about Avery Bradley that he just posted a few minutes ago. For those of you who don't know, Avery Bradley, who's been a starter for the Lakers this season, has opted out of the Orlando campus. He will not be going to the bubble. Bradley has a young son that has some respiratory issues. His son would never have been cleared to go into the bubble if the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals or the Finals, and so he decided to stay home and spend more time with his family. He was told, according to Haynes Mace, he was told this week that if the Lakers win it, if they win the whole thing, he will be given a championship ring. Rob Pelinka told him that this week. He told Haynes that it's a very nice gesture, but he added this, quote, "Will I accept the ring? I'm neither here nor there about it. I'm 10 years in the league.
Yep.
The physical possession of a ring doesn't make me feel more or less of a person.
I'm trying to think, has he won a ring anywhere else?
No. Huh. I play basketball strictly for enjoyment and to add to the support of my family. Supporting them is exactly what I'm doing right now," end quote. Now, we've talked about this before. I feel very strongly about this. If I was ever given a ring, I would never, ever wear it. I feel like that wearing it diminishes the people that did the actual work.
Right, but you would put it on display with a spotlight.
I would probably give it to my mom.
Oh, that's nice. So she could put it on display with the spotlight.
Right. I would be uncomfortable even doing that.
Are you given the option? Because you are an employee of the team, as we're often here. You are an employee of the team. Do you actually get a championship ring? Are you offered that possibility?
I don't know the answer to that. I know Michael has been given one in the past. I don't know. This is a different administration, for lack of a better word. Rob was not the general manager when Michael and Spiro were doing this. Spiro, when he got one, immediately gave it to his dad. He had the kind of a similar feeling to this that I do. But other people, Stu Lance wears his all the time.
Good for him.
And Michael.
You know, I'd be wearing mine.
Not only would you be wearing yours, I think you'd make a necklace out of it.
I would.
Yeah.
I'm in this for the awards, John. That's what I really care about is the awards.
I understand Avery Bradley's hesitance. Although I would tell him, if he asked me my opinion, that he was a major reason why they got the best record in the West. He had a tangible effect on them winning it if they win it. And I would tell him that he deserves that ring and he should have no hesitancy to wear
yes.
it. It's the people that – I always say that the way you can – in my own head, for some reason, the way I've rationalized this is if you have full locker room access, then you can wear the ring. In other words, if you can walk into the locker room and no one would stop you, okay, so that would obviously be every player, the trainers, the PR staff, the general manager, the ownership, all those people could walk in and the Redcoats would not stop them. If Michael and I tried to walk in, we would be immediately stopped. So that sets the kind of bar for us. But I know there are some people that feel like if they get a ring, they would not only wear it every day, they prominently display it.
Yes.
I don't think Avery Bradley should be hesitant to wear it at all because he's a player.
Oh, yeah. No, not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. And, you know, I think the same goes with Dwight. I mean, same goes with, you know, yesterday we had a piece of sound from Mike Trout. Mike Trout does not sound like a sure thing for this baseball season. Carlos Vela from LAFC has a pregnant wife at home. She's about to give birth. He doesn't want to leave her. I mean, I understand those family reasons. It's a significant commitment, particularly on the NBA side. It's a significant commitment if you play deep into the playoffs and you wind up in there for what's the longest? It's October the
You go down into July, and you'd be there till end of October, so that's August, September, October. That's at least 3 months. At least.
What's crazy is, let's just assume the best, that the Lakers and the Dodgers vote both advance to the finals. Dodgers to the World Series, Lakers to the NBA Finals.
And by the way, in Vegas, both teams are favored to do so.
Those series will be played at essentially the same time.
That's crazy.
At the same time.
What are you going to do? That puts you in an unbelievable spot. What if the Dodger game and the Laker game start at the exact same time, like 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night? Like, I'm obviously going Lakers because I'm working it. What are you doing?
This is extra TV. Although, you remember last year, was it last year where they were playing the Nationals? And I was in the Lakers press room watching the game. Was that last year?
Yeah, that surprises me.
Yeah, I was in the Lakers press room watching the game.
It must have been a big Laker game for some reason.
Oh, that I was there.
Yeah. Why would you not be watching the Dodgers-Nationals game? Uninterrupted, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right, without anybody around, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the occasion was, but I do remember being in the Lakers press room watching the Dodgers. But yeah, these essentially go head-to-head. The dates go absolutely head-to-head, and they're going to be happening. I mean, I don't know if the days overlap, but we could have just an unbelievably exciting couple of weeks of radio with the Dodgers in the World Series and the Lakers in the finals simultaneously. Crazy.
Man.
We're going to go from zero to a lot really, really fast in the next month or so.
Hope so. Hope we have no unexpected hiccups.
Don't even put it out there. I like what Dave McMenamin said. Don't put the bad juju out there.
Well, no, he put it out there, and then he said, I kind of feel bad about putting it out there. So
Right. But we should try to not put it out there. I'm only going to entertain the concept of it is happening.
So you're a COVID denier?
I'm not a COVID denier. I am a they're going
it
to work around it.
They've got possibly affect us.
They've got really, really smart people working around baseball, working around the NBA. There will be positive tests, but I think that we will see both seasons finish. We will see them start, and we will see them finish.
Hey, by the way, update. Since I sent out my one-sentence tweet, you should listen to the At Venice Mace podcast. 63 likes, 15
wow.
comments, except the you're not going to like the last tweet. From someone at Laker Facts, simply a three-letter tweet. Nah. N-A-H. I said, you should listen to the Venice Face podcast. His response, nah.
Nah.
Nah. He is not interested.
By the way, Harvey Guillen, who plays Guillermo on What We Do in the Shadows, is the guest on the current Venice Mace, current Culture Pop podcast. Now you got me saying it. And somebody's upset that there's a spoiler in the podcast. And there is. There's a spoiler. But if you've seen the show, which ended its run like 3 weeks ago, you should anticipate that there will be a spoiler. You can listen to the podcast, by the way, at stevemason.com. That's where you get the podcast. But he's great. He went through trying to get money for acting school. He used to go through garbage cans and find bottles and cans
and
stuff. Yeah. And that's how he got through acting
school.
Good
for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Worked hard. You got to really want that, man. You got to really want that. All right. Coming up next, we got Game of Games coming up in 15 minutes. It is my game. It is my game today. And coming up next, John, I've got an intriguing question, one that has nothing to do with anything that we've been talking about.
Okay.
I'll ask it next, and Bronstein and Funch can both have answers too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Of games is coming up for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Sliwa at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Lindsay hates when we say top of the hour.
Well, she's not here, so say it as much as you want.
Exactly. So I saw this question asked on a talk show. I forget which one. It was that British one. Graham Norton. Have you ever seen that guy?
Yep, that's the one.
So he asked this question, or they were got to talking about this. You've got 6 minutes until you die, and you can put on any one song to listen to. What is your pick?
Well, the first song that popped into my head was Stairway to Heaven.
So that's That's interesting.
I think that's probably where I end up, but I think the most underrated song that is like not in anybody's top three, but to me is a stunningly beautiful song that has everything in it, is All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, sure. It's great.
So I think I'm in one of those. So It's the End of My Life. I'll throw one more in there. Long and Winding Road, Beatles. Those are the three.
That's a good one.
Stairway to Heaven, All Along the Watchtower, or Long and Winding Road. What is it for you?
For me, I think it's Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah.
A little depressing.
That is my favorite song of all time. What is that?
A little depressing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's what people play when, you know, at funerals. So you're
You are dying in 60.
Yeah,
you are dying.
Good point.
You just said Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
The song I want played at my funeral, though, is Van Morrison, Into the Mystic. That's my funeral song. But Hallelujah is my 6 minutes to live song. Bronstein, what about you?
I might do like an old school one like Bohemian Rhapsody.
But that doesn't make any sense. You're dying and you're listening to Bohemian Rhapsody. I will not let you go. That's what the way you're going to go out.
But Mama, I Killed a Man.
You want to go out? Mama, I Killed a Man?
It talks about ruining your life. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, but also I want to think that maybe I can add on to my life because the song is longer than 6 minutes.
You're trying to buy time.
Exactly. Can I do Green Day, Jesus of Suburbia?
Can I track Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Led Zeppelin, Kashmir, 28 minutes.
Done.
Bunch, what are you going with?
I might go with the Notorious B.I.G., Ready to Die. He has a song called Ready to Die.
Well, certainly appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, one of the hardest songs he's done. I think I might go with that one. Or a softer one like November Rain.
November Rain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long song, too.
It's a long song.
It's almost 7 minutes.
You get a little extra time.
We're all about buying time on the Mason and Ion show.
Buying time. Apparently. I just want the longest song I could possibly get. So Buster Olney has released a list of the top 10 starting pitchers in Major League Baseball this year, John.
Okay. Let me see how many I can get.
Okay.
One of them has to be Steven Strasburg.
Steven Strasburg is number four.
Okay. This is where it's going to – Max Scherzer has got to be on that list.
Max Scherzer's number five.
Boy, I don't think Kershaw is still there. The question is, would Bueller be there? Oh, what the heck? I get three strikes, right?
Yeah.
Give me Kershaw.
Kershaw, this is what he says, best of the rest. At 32, he has fully transitioned into the crafty lefty stage of his career when he can't simply blow the ball by hitters in the way he once did, but he's still pretty damn good, finishing seventh in the NL in ERA last year at 3.03, striking out more than a batter per inning. So he is best of the rest, according to Buster.
So that's my first strike.
Yep.
Okay, so Garrett Cole's got to be there, right?
Garrett Cole is number one. Garrett Cole is number one now of the New York Yankees.
Okay, so who am I leaving out of this list?
Think cheater.
Verlander?
Yes, Justin Verlander is number three.
Okay, so, I just thought of another one. DeGrom has to be there.
And DeGrom number two. Yeah, you basically have nailed it. Garrett Cole one, Jake DeGrom two, Justin Verlander three, Steven Strasburg four, Max Scherzer five. Number six is a guy who not a lot of people know if you don't follow the game really closely, but he is going to be an absolute superstar. Jack Flaherty of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. Number
seven is Walker Bueller.
Okay, so Bueller was in there. Kershaw wasn't.
Yep.
Or did I get 8, 9, or 10?
No, but they're tough. Charlie Morton from the Rays is number 8.
Yeah.
Mike Clevenger from the Indians, who was actually in some trade talks with the Dodgers at some point this year. Maybe it had been part of a Francisco Lindor trade. He's number 9. And Shane Bieber of the Indians is 10. Best of the rest, Clayton Kershaw, Blake Snell from the Rays, Mike Soroka from the Braves, Zach Greinke, Yu Darvish.
What? Come on.
He seemed to learn a lot about himself last year, pitching spectacularly in the second half when opponents batted just 199 and had a 612 OPS. He had 118 strikeouts in 81 and two-thirds innings in the second half. Nobody has ever questioned his stuff. Pertinent question is whether it can carry over his success into 2020, particularly after an extended offseason. I didn't realize he'd been that good in the second half last year.
Me either. All I remember him is blowing that game 7.
Tyler Glasnow from the Rays is also best of the rest. So that is a total of 3 Rays in the top 20 pitchers for Buster Olney. So somebody said, I think it was Jay Hare said, look out for the Rays. The Rays actually could get onto a run this year. They could get onto a run, by the way, and put the Yankees in a wild card situation.
Yeah, by the way, Buster's coming on the show tomorrow.
Buster good.
Buster will be on the show at 3:15. And also coming on the show tomorrow is super agent Lee Steinberg, who just negotiated the $500 million Patrick Mahomes deal.
10 years.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Lee about how
10-year deal. Out. If I told that story about when I was offered a 10-year deal?
Yeah, but probably not in a while.
So I was working for 690. There's just that. You saw that great article about the mighty 690, right, John?
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good. So I was working for John Lynch down there, and John Lynch, I was offered a job to do the Tom Snyder Show on CBS at night, and I was still going to keep doing mornings, but I was going to do the Snyder Show at night, and John Lynch put his foot down and said no.
So you can't do both.
I wanted to do both. That was it. And John Lynch said, and I said, my agent at that time was a guy named Ed Hoekstraat, who's kind of a legend in the business. And he said, you call your boss and tell him your teeth itch and your hair hurts. So I called him up and I said exactly that thing. And it was a sick out. And it lasted for, John, how long do you think that lasted for?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. And at some point in that conversation, John Lynch called me and said, let's settle this man to man. And I said, yep, it's going to be my man versus your man. and finally, before John Lynch caved, he offered me a 10-year contract.
How old were you at the time?
I was 30.
Yeah, that's a
10-year contract.
Patrick Mahomes is only 23.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that deal, and I know there's only, I guess, $141 million guaranteed, but 10 years is an awful long time. I mean, I saw a lot of people debating today on ESPN about who's actually worth a 10-year contract. And there are a number of people. For example, I saw Luka Doncic as one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Was described. Giannis as a 10-year contract guy, I can see that. Mike Trout, I can see Mike Trout as a 10-year contract guy. He's going to be productive for that entire time. But there are very few players that I think about 10 years with. Very few. That's sort of the Albert Pujols deal.
Right. And it wasn't a good deal.
Was not a good deal. Started out, looked fine for a while, but you knew you were buying dead years at the end of the contract. That was a dumb contract, even though somehow Pujols has continued to maintain some level of productivity. He doesn't hit for average anymore, but he does hit home runs, and he does drive in runs, and he's solid in the middle of that lineup. I don't hate the Angels the way I hate the Clippers, the way I hate UCLA, the way I hate the Astros, but I would love to see Mike Trout in the playoffs just because I think the Angels would have a real chance.
Yeah, he's been in the playoffs once. He has one hit.
Yeah, he did not play well in that postseason.
The hit is a home run, but he has one hit.
Yep. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. I've got the game today. We will give you the scoreboard, and we'll play the game next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Game of Games time, Mason and Ireland show. And we've got a game today called One and Done. This game is called One and Done. You'll understand as I go through it. And John, you can play. Funch, you can play. And Adam Bronstein, you can play.
All right.
It's multiple choice. And there are two choices for each one.
Okay.
Number one, which TV series ran only one season? Sledgehammer or Freaks and Geeks? Sledgehammer or Weeks, Freaks and Geeks? Which one was One and Done, John?
Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. Funch.
Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. Braun.
Yeah, a clean sweep, Freaks and Geeks.
It was. Yeah, it was. A lot of people got their starts on that show, Judd Apatow's show. All right, number two. Who was booted on their first episode of The Apprentice? On their first episode of The Apprentice. Would it be Scott Hamilton or Andrew Dice Clay? Booted first on their episode of The Apprentice. Funch.
I'll say Scott Hamilton.
Scott Hamilton. Bronny.
Yeah, I'll say Hamilton, too.
Hamilton. John.
Booted on the first. I'm going to say it's Andrew Dice Clay. I'll go the other way.
Andrew Dice Clay it is. John takes the point.
I thought it was so obvious.
Which of these number one rated shows. Skip that one. Which musicians. were one-hit wonders, only had one top 20 song. Tone Loc or Vanilla Ice? Tone Loc or Vanilla Ice, who had only one top 20 song? Bronny.
I'm going to say Tone Loc.
Tone Loc. John.
Didn't Tone Loc have Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina? I'll go the other way. I'll go Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice and Funch.
John, I think you're right, so I'm going to go Vanilla Ice as well.
Yeah, by the way, I think John totally nailed it. Those were the two hits. Vanilla Ice, only one. Ice,
I mean, can you name another song from Vanilla Ice?
No, cannot.
Yeah, right?
Cannot.
Yeah, no, the one from Ninja Turtles. Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go.
John 3, Funch 2, Bronny 1.
Yep.
All right, which golfer has only one major championship? Is it Lee Jansen or Paul Azinger? Only one major championship. John.
I know this, so do you want me to go first still?
Yeah, why don't you go... well, since you said you know it, let's go Funch.
Lee Jansen.
Lee Jansen.
I will go Azinger.
Azinger. And John?
Adam's right, it's Azinger.
It is Azinger. John takes a commanding 4-2-2 lead. All right, and the last one. So, John, you've clinched this.
Excellent.
Last one. Which is the number one all-time longest-running Broadway show? Is it A, Cats, or B, Phantom of the Opera? This is just for pride, John. What do you think?
Have I missed one yet?
You missed one.
Oh, okay, so I can't get it. I think it's Phantom. Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera. Funch?
Cats.
Yeah, Cats.
The correct answer is Phantom of the Opera. So John takes the game. He is on the board for the month of July.
Yeah, Cats ran a long time, but the Phantom, I think, ran... it's still playing, and I think it opened in, like, the late 80s.
Oh, it's just run forever.
Cats isn't running anymore. That's why.
No,
Phantom
Cats
is
done. Cats is done.
Can we count the movie, though?
What's that?
The Cats movie is the biggest piece of crap ever produced.
Yeah, seriously, can we count that towards the run?
Hey, guys, I've got a delivery I've got to pick up. I'm going to turn you down for a minute, okay? Can you cover for me?
Is it weed?
What is this?
No, I can't help it. There's somebody at the door.
And super secret delivery for Steve Mason.
Do not turn the mic down. I want to hear the delivery go down. All right, so Mason is going... Yeah, so Mason is going to the door. Apparently Juan is not there. The weird thing about this is if there was a delivery coming to my house, my dog would be going nuts. And Mason has two dogs, and neither one of the dogs are making a sound.
I'm surprised, John, because in a pre-show meetings, the dogs go crazy all the time.
Yeah, I don't know what. Maybe he either sent the dogs outside or he fed them. But
maybe fed them something that would put them to sleep.
Yeah, this is uniquely COVID related that Mason would leave the show to pick up a delivery.
Yes.
All right. So how did you keep the dogs quiet?
The dogs are in the backyard.
Okay.
Juan is in the backyard, in the back studio space, and the dogs are barking through the door, but I think you just can't hear them.
Okay, got it.
So, yeah, thanks
for... By the way, our friend Kevin Reese sent me a text, and he said, sorry, no player in any sport is worth a 10-year contract. No way you can predict that far into the future. Completely disagree with Kevin. As a matter of fact, I wrote back, Trout is... Look at his numbers. He's only 27. His numbers get better every year. You certainly would have given LeBron a 10-year contract
when absolutely.
He was 23. You would have given Kobe a 10-year contract when he was 23.
I mean, there are certain positions. Like, I would never give a pitcher a 10-year contract baseball.
It happened. Like, remember Mike Hampton got a 7-year contract?
Oh, well, Kevin Brown got a 10-year contract with the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's just the nature of people trying to, you know, give him the proverbial offer he can't refuse. But pitcher I would never give a 10-year deal to. But to say no player is worth it, look at Gretzky when he was young. I mean, Gretzky was so dominant that you would have given him a 12, 13-year contract. Bryce Harper got 13 years, didn't he?
Bryce Harper got 13 years, that's correct.
Yeah, now I'm not even sure Mahomes if that contract is good for him. You know,
yeah,
debate about Steinberg's going to be on the show tomorrow, but they're 10 years. I think in 7 or 8 years, I think the Chiefs actually made the smart play.
Does
there.
He have no opt out?
No, he has multiple opt outs. Or at least Steinberg's coming on the show tomorrow, and he can explain some of them. But he has opt-outs, and he has performance bonuses that could drive the value of the contract up to $500 million. But the Chiefs, I think if you look at – if you go back 10 years ago, I think the highest-paid contracts were Peyton Manning and Brett Favre.
Right.
And 10 years later, they would have been a bargain.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Mahomes in 10 years is not going to be a bargain.
Who's the next quarterback to get paid? I guess it's – Deshaun Watson
or Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
Lamar Jackson?
Lamar's going to be the next guy to get a monster deal if he has another season like he did last year. But very few people have ever put together two seasons in a row like that.
This will be his third year, right?
Right. But the first year he didn't play a ton, right?
Right, didn't play a ton.
And Mahomes didn't play at all. Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith and started one game at the end of the year.
So this is – Mahomes just finished his – fourth season?
I thought it was his third, but it could have been his fourth. What drove Mahomes' value through the roof is that he won a Super Bowl at age 23.
Oh, yeah.
I think that made him the youngest quarterback ever to win the Super Bowl.
I think the youngest quarterback to ever win Super Bowl MVP.
Maybe that's it. But it you know.
Yeah, so he's coming into his fourth year. So he's getting his deal after his third season.
So 2 years of unbelievable performance.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a benchmark that stands for a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, you know, the idea that you would give no player a 10-year contract. It'd be really hard, but I'd give it to Luka.
I'd give it to Luka.
I'd give it to Giannis.
Yep, me too. Give it
now
to
here's
Giannis.
A hard one. What about Zion? He just turned 20.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, he's had a history injury, but I would give it to Luka or I'd give it to Giannis.
Yeah, are those the only two guys?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, you can't give it to Embiid. You can't give it to Simmons. Dame, is Lillard too old?
Probably too old.
Stephen Clay are too old.
Yep.
I think that might be it.
Yeah, for 10-year contracts.
Yeah, I think that might be it. I'm popping around the league. Tatum?
I don't know if you give him a 10-year contract.
That's a lot. He's only 20. But that's a tough one. AD's 26.
Take him to age 36? I don't like
little,
that.
Yeah, that's a little old.
by the way, here we are sitting around. Yeah, 36, that's a little old.
Well, in the NBA, a max deal is only 5 years anyway, so they take care of the problem for you.
Right, right. Yeah, in baseball, there are some guys. Football, there aren't a lot of guys.
Can't give it to Kawhi.
Can't give it to Kawhi.
Yeah, can't give it to Paul George. Yeah, I think it's Giannis.
You need somebody early 20s.
I think it's Giannis and Luka.
Yeah, I think that's it. All right, coming up next for you is Sliwa. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. right, it's crosstalk time. Boy, you know, I was just thinking, the guy that does the ESPN Los Angeles sports, could he have realized that he would be in every single one of our rejoins? That guy is a star.
I think he wishes he had a check coming every time.
I think he probably did. ESPN Los Angeles sports.
Alan Sliwa is here. Sliwa, have you decided whether or not to accept the Labor Day hot dog eating contest rematch?
Okay, so I have a very important conversation this evening with Kirk Morrison.
Okay.
Oh, you and, do? And what's Kirk going to say?
You know, I don't know. I have to lay everything out for him, and I got to get his thoughts because
are you going to show him the video?
He's seen the video. He actually called in 8 o'clock on Thursday night to congratulate and do the whole thing. So there was a whole song and dance with Kirk.
Okay.
So I have to ask him what he thinks about this offer. Now, you guys know one of our great friends, Mark Cates of the station. Cates was adamant yesterday. How are you going to give this guy another shot? You should wait till July 4th, 2021.
That's what Cates said.
Really?
Oh, you think you know somebody after all I've done for Cates over the years.
You think you know somebody. I love it. You think you know somebody.
Cates took that position because Cates should know, of all people, that we're generating content.
And by the way, on top of that,
Right?
A sponsor. Yeah. Cates has plenty of times to sell a sponsorship.
I'm very surprised Mark has taken this position.
Okay, but Ramona, by the way, John, yesterday basically said, like, look, when it's hot, you got to strike when the iron's hot. So she was trying to say, you know, if 3 months from now you're doing another hot dog competition and then it's hot again, then you go again. You go a trilogy in this one.
So exactly. Alan, here's the thing. Like, I've played Travis twice in golf, and it's over. When Travis defeated me the second time, that's it. He's the undisputed champion. If you were to beat Mason on Labor Day, it not only validates this particular victory that you're already claiming, in which we don't believe you, but it would then establish you. It would establish you as the undisputed champ. You know,
yeah. Nobody could argue with it.
Pete Carroll used to say, "Leave no doubt."
Yeah,
You would be leaving no doubt. But I have a question about your claim of victory from last Thursday.
Okay.
You make several references, and I'm disappointed I didn't ask you about this yesterday, but you make several references to we trained, we prepared. Who else was there? Who is we? You're in quarantine. Aren't you in your apartment by yourself?
Okay, this was my strategy. My strategy was, should I even be giving up my strategy?
I'm just asking, who is we? That's all. You can answer that any way you want.
I could give up some of the game plan.
Yeah, who is we?
The game plan was give nothing. So when I was on, Mace, you were on Sedano's show, and I came on, and I kept saying we, right? I just said we have.
And then, who is we?
And then Sedano said, what are you, Bill Belichick? I was Bill Belichicking everything. Everything was, it's about the team. Everything was
to give the least amount. What team? Who is on your team? Who is we? Mason was all, I will compete. I will own Sliwa. Yeah. I will. He was the only one there. What? Who is we? Who constitutes
John,
we?
John, I have a team of probably about 30 people all under the payroll.
Right.
That
name
is part
any
of the Sliwa Corporation.
There are many people on a payroll in this
part
operation.
Part of the Sliwa Corporation, Alan, that is in the evenings.
Sliwa Inc.
Who are they? Who is what? Give us some examples. Who is your we? What is the collective we?
Okay. What if the entire we is the entire evening show? What if I'm representing, as Kirk told me, Kirk, you're not just representing Alan Sliwa.
Right.
You're representing the evening show. You're representing Jesse. You're representing Curtis. You're representing those who listen from 6:30
to 9. So Jesse and Curtis help you eat the hot dogs?
Which one was actually there, Jesse or Curtis?
John, I think you're both an attorney on the side. I think John's an attorney on the side.
And I'm just saying, you can answer it any way you want. If you're saying the we is all the people that work on the night show, what was their role in your victory?
Nobody had a role in the actual W, but we did it for the entire crew. That's what we did.
And the entire crew consists of?
You, Jesse, Curtis, Morrison in this case, because he was kind of being a mentor to you.
Yes. And 6:30 to 9.
And so just the number 630.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's correct.
2-9. Those people. Those diehards. By the way, has Curtis executed the overthrow yet?
Executed the overthrow. He said he works the long game, so he's not giving me any details, nothing. So he's thinking big picture on this.
Ireland, have you ever heard Sliwa's show kind of late, like in the in that?
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I've never
he's
heard Sliwa's show,
yeah, he's never,
period.
Yeah, he's never, he's
really?
Never
now, I like to tune in. I like to tune in.
Thank you, Mace.
I proved that now, I tuned in last week on a little quiz. But mm-hmm. Curtis, the longer the show goes, the more Curtis there is.
I listen to Alan on the Laker postgame show when I'm driving home from the Laker games. But I've never
That's good
heard,
enough. That's great.
I've never
I'll take
heard
it.
The Sliwa show. Well, and you know this because occasionally I'll text you, like if they tell me something in the locker room or if they mention something to me in the press room that I think would help you, I'll text it to you.
By the way, the conversation you guys had earlier about the championship ring, whether
well, yeah,
you'd
Alan,
wear it.
Where, yes. would you, where would you come down on that? If so if the Lakers called you and said, hey, Sliwa, mm-hmm. you did the postgame show all year, we're sending you a ring, would you wear it?
Okay, before I answer it,
yeah.
who do you think at the station – always wears their ring. John,
well,
do you know who it is?
Who's got a ring? Key.
I no.
Always
I
always wears their Laker ring.
Oh, their Laker ring.
I don't know who that would be.
At the station?
Always wears it. So it's obviously not, works with it, us. Always works or works with us at the station, but always wears it at Staples Center. So for every game,
is it Walsh?
They have it on. Walsh every time.
Richard well, Walsh, sales okay. manager Richard Walsh.
Okay, here's the thing. For Richard, I would argue it's a
oh, it's gold.
Sales device.
100%.
In other words, what he's doing is he's entertaining clients, trying mm-hmm. to convince them to be part of our Lakers team.
He's closing like, deals. A, always. B, yeah, B, C,
exactly.
closing. No, always John, be
when
closing.
Pat, when Pat Riley convinced Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh to join
that's
together,
right. you rolled
he
out
dumped
the rings.
Three rings on the table. I think that's what Walsh is doing there. I have no that's problem a, with I have no problem with Richard going to the ring.
That's a power play there. But it's not even just you know trying to sell. There's a lot of clients that are partners at the station. They want to take a picture with it. I mean, that's
yeah.
like the coolest thing in the world to have, you know, obviously a Los Angeles Lakers ring. So would I wear it if I had one? John, I'm with you. 100% put it somewhere where.
Oh,
know,
come on, Sliwa. Where's your ego? It. Where's your attitude? Where's your swagger?
I love how Macy said you'd wear it on a chain. You just put it on a chain.
I would wear it on a chain.
Mason would wear it and or he might turn it into a hood ornament on his car.
Yeah, I mean, I want – look. I'm sitting right here in my living room, and I look over, and there are my three Bob Miller awards for best sports talk show host.
Damn right there are.
They're right there, and they've got a spotlight on them. They're on a pedestal, and it spins around.
And my five Bob Miller awards are in a box.
Five. You won some of those because of me.
Right, but you didn't get credit for them. They screwed up the whole process. So
they
I have
did
five
screw up the process.
Three.
Yeah.
Wait, how'd that happen?
Well, at one point, I have one broken Bob Miller award because Mason was so upset that they put my name ahead of his when
oh,
we
yeah.
won it together. It said John Ireland and Steve Mason, and he goes,
yep.
"These idiots didn't even get the name right," and he threw it on the ground and it broke. So I
oh
hold that one
gosh.
In honor. But yeah, Mason would wear if Mason got a Laker ring, it would be the first thing you would notice.
Oh yeah.
He might turn it into like a door knocker on his front door.
I love
I'm
that.
In this
Why
for the awards,
story?
Man. I always I wonder what it would be story. Like to win one of those big awards. Like, what would it be like to win a Grammy or to win an Oscar or to win an Emmy? What that must be like.
I had Mace, I had a friend of mine I went to high school with. Ended up going to Long Beach State, 6'9", went there on a full scholarship for volleyball.
Yep.
And what year was it that U.S. won the gold? Maybe
okay.
2008, I want to say. No, I think it was 2008. And we had our 10-year reunion in 2010. And I was just joking around them the entire time. I mean, this guy came back to the 10-year reunion, and he had a gold medal. He didn't bring the gold medal. But I was like, David, if I were you, I'd be rocking that gold medal. What have you done the last
oh,
10 years?
Yeah.
I just want to get gold medal. I don't know what you've accomplished, but – Yeah, definitely. There's.
Well, when I'm at the Olympics, when I'm at the Olympics, I'm interviewing one of the athletes afterwards. They always come in with their gold medal, and I always put the gold medal on and get my picture taken with the athlete.
Yeah, that's a very Dave Singer move. By the way, Mace, did you talk about Bob Singer last week?
I did talk about Bob Singer. So what a wonderful guy.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. Dave lost his dad last week, Bob, who was a great addition to our show. And probably, Mace, the biggest Dodger fan we knew.
Without question. Without question.
So Dave sent us the text last week that his dad had been ill for a while and he finally passed away. But hail fellow well met to Bob Singer, who we just loved, and we would bring him on the show to talk about. He refused to say anything bad about the Dodgers. The Dodgers could lose 20 games in a row. He'd go, "Tonight's our night. Tonight's
he was like
the
you.
Night.
He was like you with the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was, to me that was
the great thing about Bob Singer was that he always had his earphones in, right? All the time. If the Dodgers were playing, it didn't matter if he was out to dinner or having a conversation with his wife, Char, or anything like that. That earbud was in, and he was listening to that game, every single game on the radio.
I don't know why it popped into my head, but you were talking about how you're in it for the awards.
Yes.
Did you ever see the you and I were at this game, May, so I don't know if you ever went back and watched it. If not, I'll send it to you. Did you ever see the Rose Bowl intro with Matthew McConaughey and Will Ferrell to the USC Texas game in 2006?
No, I can't. We were at that game, so right. No, I don't think I've ever seen it.
So it basically starts with McConaughey on a ranch. So he's sitting in a ranch talking about how football is everything in Texas. How if you grow up in Texas, you're born and bred football. And he, it's sweeping plains, and he's got like a steer behind him. And he cuts to a shot of Will Ferrell at a pool in Beverly Hills. They cut back to McConaughey, and he's like stoic and at this ranch in Texas. And matter of fact, I'll tweet it out right now for everybody.
I'm watching it right now.
And by the way, so McConaughey will talk about tradition, Earl Campbell, Texas. And McConaughey would go, "Excuse me, I can't hear you. I got a Heisman in my ear." And he's holding up Matt Leinart's Heisman. And then he says, "Hey, McConaughey, I can't hear you. I got a Heisman in my other ear." And he's holding up Reggie Bush's Heisman. And he just completely makes fun of McConaughey. It's fantastic.
McConaughey, by the way, fantastic guy. I met him at that when I was the Falconer at the LAFC. And him and Will Ferrell both were down there on the field. And McConaughey is another guy who listens to the show. McConaughey is a big fan of Mason in Ireland.
Yeah, it's the best use of Heisman's in a video ever.
Yes. All right, coming back next, more Crosstalk. Alan Slee was here. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great cross-trade service for our 710 listeners. A $99 drain cleaning. Go to powerproplumbing.com for all the details.
So I'm talking about...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say...
Yeah, you go.
You were, Mace, you guys were talking about... John, you said that pothole in New York, and you guys had the conversation about would you live in New York City?
Yes.
Have you guys ever thought, would you ever, and maybe this is later on for the both of you, would you ever live outside of the States? Where would you live? If you lived outside of the States, have you ever given a thought of where you would live?
For me, it'd be Italy, because that's where my wife would want to go. That if I had to live outside the United States, it would be in Italy. Mason, I actually think you might at one point live outside the United
States. I might live outside the United States at one point. I really like Cartagena, Colombia a lot. And I also like Portugal a lot. There are a lot of expats in Portugal, which is a good place. I mean, if you want to stretch your retirement money, sometimes leaving the country is the best way to do it.
Or at least leaving the state.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'd rather just keep giving California a good 45% of whatever I make. I think I'm with you, John. I mean, anywhere in Europe, but if you did Italy and you're just, just all those amazing countries that are around, obviously you could do the France, the Spain. I mean, you just tour around wherever you want to go. I don't know. That's going to be something down the road. But I figure both of you and Mace, especially you, I know you've been to some crazy places. I was curious, if you had to go anywhere, where would you live? So Colombia, or you said Portugal?
Portugal, yeah. Those are my two. Those are my two. I still am bummed that I didn't get to go on my trip to Guatemala. But eventually that'll happen. But I've been to most of Central America now. I've been to Nicaragua. I've been to El Salvador. I've been to Costa Rica. Tried to go to Guatemala. Got held up by the... you know, that sequence is still so weird to me.
How about that 2 weeks where you were telling us you were going to go there and you weren't sure if you were going to go?
No, and then for a while, it was like, I'm going to Guatemala no matter what. And then I said, okay, Guatemala's off. We're going to Miami. And then that was off. And then I said, okay, Miami's off. We're going to go to Hawaii. And ended up going to Hawaii. And
how long were you there?
2 days. 2 days, and all of a sudden I thought, I am going to get, I mean, there are worse places to get stuck, but I am going to get stuck in Hawaii and not be able to do the show. So I decided to turn around and come back almost right away. Was there for 48 hours. But it was a surreal experience. And then by the time I got back, then all hell broke loose because the Rudy Gobert thing happened. Sliwa and I were on the air that night. Sliwa, you provided excellent commentary during that process. Some of your
Mace,
best stuff.
How long ago was that? How long ago was that now? That's over 100, probably over 110 days ago.
100 years ago. 100 years.
It feels like it.
It feels like 100 years, doesn't it?
So, you know, I told you guys I was watching that Tom Colicchio, the chef.
Yes.
Saying that Colicchio thinks that 80% of restaurants are going under.
Yep.
Because he says that most restaurants operate on a pretty thin margin.
Yep.
And if you ask them to close all their inside dining, that's game over. What about hotels? Are hotels going to survive this? Think of all the different hotels in the world that I did a story about Costa Rica, back when we were doing Fast Track, and how 90% of,
Their revenue is
tourism.
Yeah, it's tourism. Yeah.
What happens to all those hotels?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know what is a boom business right now is VRBO and Airbnb. People are
They're doing
saying
well.
It's going well. In other words,
why I wouldn't go? I wouldn't stay in an Airbnb right now.
I stayed in a VRBO in Palm Springs.
You
that's
weren't worried
the way
about
to go.
Getting COVID?
No, because it's empty. You're the only ones there.
Right, but
nobody else is there.
Yeah, but you don't know who was there before you.
Yeah, but that's your best chance. Going to a hotel is completely communal. You're all going to be touching the same stuff. Moving into somebody's house is a different animal altogether. I have no problem with that.
How about John? How about just commercial real estate in general? So if you say 80% of these restaurants would go under, they wouldn't survive. What's going to fill in, those spaces? I think.
Well, the other thing about commercial real estate, Alan, is I've got a couple of friends that work in that world. Nobody's paying rent. Everybody that has rent, a lot of these places have just elected not to pay it. So there's probably a reckoning coming. I have no idea how the economy is going to survive.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, somebody smarter than me can tell me, but I'm just scared that everything's going under.
Right, and the problem is that it all is going the wrong way right now. That's the other weird thing. I mean, it's all, California's gotten tight, Arizona's gotten tight, Florida, Texas. I mean, by the way, all these places, the Dodgers open at home against San Francisco. Then they go to Houston, which is like one of the hottest COVID spots in the country right now. Then they go to Phoenix to play the Diamondbacks, which is also one of the hottest spots right now in terms of the virus. I mean, they're going right into it. And Florida is right in the middle of it. That's why the sanctity of the bubble is so important, John. Guys need to respect the bubble. Respect the bubble.
Yeah, did you see where Damian Lillard doesn't think they will?
Yeah, I know. It's a shame. I mean, if somebody screws it up, it's on them. They can screw it up for the whole league. For the whole league. Do you want to be that guy?
Well,
do you want to see patient zero that brings down the bubble?
Well, yeah, because right now that's kind of Rudy Gobert, right? He kind of has that monkey on his back.
Yeah, yeah.
is that he didn't take COVID seriously and it shut down the whole league. So you would think that that's the cautionary tale, that people wouldn't want to be the next Rudy Gobert.
Especially now, John. I mean, think about what we knew back then to what we know now. And even back then, of course, Rudy Gobert shouldn't have done what he did and everything else. But, John, wasn't it the night before that was Lakers-Brooklyn? Staples Center was
right.
You know, almost 20,000
people. Yes, that was that Tuesday
people.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah, and four of the Nets and two of the Lakers ended up testing positive.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine texted me last night and said that he's lost Jeopardy to his wife three straight times.
Okay.
And I told him it's not good for your spouse to be both better looking than you and smarter than you. Like, that's a deadly combination. She looks better and she's smarter. What is she doing with you? What is she doing with you? Because I'm definitely not the best looking in our Juan's better looking than I am.
That's
but
true.
I am definitely smarter.
I'm not sure that's true. It depends what the subject is, I would think.
Oh, like, I'm smart, man.
Oh, really?
I am. If I'm anything, I'm smart. That's what I got going for me.
I would Juan agree to compete in a trivia competition that I created between the two of you?
I would kick Juan's ass, first of all.
I don't think
Secondly,
you would.
He has no desire in, I mean, he does not want to be on the radio.
Okay, what if we did it off the air?
Oh, we're going to do an off-air trivia contest between me and Juan.
And if Juan wins, okay, because we're not using his real name, we could just run it on the Culture Pop podcast.
I could probably persuade Juan to do that, but okay. I'm definitely smart. I'm just smarter. I mean, are you smarter than Lisa?
Depends what the subject is. In pop culture, yes. Like, I'll try out a lot of the games I try on you guys,
yeah.
on her, and she'll just crash and burn. And I'll say, well, Mason will know all those. And she's like, yeah, why? Like, I tried that lyrics game on her.
Yeah, the lyrics game.
Yeah, she just failed miserably.
What happened to the old days when Alan Sliwa used to bring a game for the last part of Fast Track or the last part of Crosstalk?
Yeah, Sliwa.
Right, tomorrow you guys want a game? Game tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, we love your games.
Bring something, Sliwa.
Okay. Yeah, bring
something to the party.
Bring something to Crosstalk. Like,
what is your question?
Everybody's doing the Zoom calls now. What's the etiquette of Zoom calls? Like, are there just all unwritten rules? Or I'm trying to figure out what some of the etiquette is. If I take a Zoom call from outside, is that poor form right there?
From what do you mean from outside?
So if I take a video conference call, mm-hmm. but I'm doing it from outside, like I'm not.
Yeah,
at
I remember
home.
When we had Amanda had a Zoom meeting,
so
Sliwa,
I've done this a couple
and
times.
You did it when you were like out for a jog, and I thought it was very disrespectful.
Okay, not that bad. More just sitting down, set up outside. Mace, is that
no? Outside
bad form?
Is fine. But if you're like out jogging, I thought that mm-hmm. was a little.
Yeah, I thought that was a little much. You were walking around while we were in the middle of a call. I was actually on a call this morning, and I'm embarrassed to say I was first of all, I was
were you
in
on
bed.
The toilet?
Oh, no, I was okay. in bed, and I realized at some point that I didn't have a shirt on, and you could see my chest and the tattoo on my chest, and I'm like,
oh, that's
what
awesome.
kind of professional... Yeah.
We okay.
Look, am I going for?
So I'm kind of outing Mason here, but we had when the Rams debuted their new logo, we had a conference call with the Rams so they could explain how the new logo came about and everything. And Mason did the call from his bed.
Yeah, I did.
And I thought, you can't actually get out of bed. I mean, come on.
A shirt on or shirt off?
Shirt on.
Shirt on.
Okay, shirt on.
Hat
yeah.
on.
How could you tell I was in bed?
Your covers were pulled up. What do you mean? How can I tell you were in bed?
I guess the covers would be a dead giveaway,
yeah.
wouldn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but you did take time to put on a hat.
I did put on a hat. Listen,
that's
I've got no choice. I got the most raggedy ass hair in the world right now.
That's when you were trying to grow a beard. You just look like a
hobo. Mate, you still haven't got a haircut? Still
nope,
no haircut?
Still have not gotten a haircut.
What do you? Are you just going to ride this out until we're back at the station?
I'm going for the Jesus look. I'm going for the full Jesus.
Oh, why not?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's something. I think that that's something to strive for.
John, we're back in there soon.
Yeah, we're back in there on the 29th. We're going to be the first people in. Me, you, and Michael are the first on-air people in.
I heard you telling Funches. I just got the mass and the thermometer too. I think yesterday.
Yep, we're on the list. That's for sure. It sounds like Keyshawn might just leave the whole state. He doesn't want to go in so bad that he's just leaving.
I'm going to New York.
By the way, if Jesus were here, Siri, yeah, you know what he would say?
He would say it's 6:24.
6:24, we hit the door.
What do you got coming up tonight?
Well, I'll ask Kirk. Kirk will do the whole show.
Oh, good.
We'll get his thought on the hot dog contest, what he thinks I should be doing from here.
Yep.
And then Jordan
good
Rodriguez
talk about honesty and integrity.
Covers the Rams for the Athletic. She'll join the show as well.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Tomorrow, Buster Olney will be with us at 3:15. And Lee Steinberg, the guy who cut the $500 million deal for Patrick Mahomes, will be with us at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So make sure you're back here. Sliwa, have fun. Have a night of honesty and frankness.
And remember, Sliwa, don't kill content. Content is king.
Yes. Yes. All right. Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm cool. On it. See you back here tomorrow, 2:55 sharp, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.